This morning, I'm going to speak to you about one of our battles that we have, and that's unforgiveness. So there's some ladies going to pass out these papers for me. Oh, and I'm so glad. I just love being at this church. I just think you're all so sweet. Now, if you're not sweet, don't tell me. You know, I was looking at this, and I'm thinking, I haven't met a lady yet that seems to have any of these problems. Now, let me ask you, if your husband was here, would he say the same thing? No, I'm not kidding. I wouldn't ask him, because I don't want him to know. Could you hand me that gallon of water? I forgot it, Miss Ennis. Can you believe it? I'm really thirsty today. I'm from West Virginia. I had a drink out of a jug. No, I'm kidding. You want me to do that again for the photographer? Here, photographer. Look, she's doing such a good job taking pictures. Photographer, pay attention to me. She's trying to help her get papers out. Wait a minute, I want you to take a picture like this. You know, you came because you knew you were going to have fun, right? That's the whole reason why there's anybody here. They said, surely, those two weird women here, there's going to be some fun. Now, hopefully, in amidst the fun, you're going to learn something. We do have materials out there. While they're passing it out, I thought I'd let you know about materials. I decided today when I came that I'd have a big sale. How many of you like sales? Oh, you know, if I'm going to buy something like Cato's around the corner, when I walk in Cato, I zip by everything but the two sale racks that are back in there, and I go around all the sale in case I find something I can't live without. That's what I always say. That's the key of whether I buy it or not on sale. Can I live without it? So we have a sale back there. All my CD albums are $15. Now, this CD album is a new album that hasn't been out, but just a few months. It has a booklet in the back that you actually work through a workbook as you try to overcome some troubled past. And if you're a person that's a counselor, this would be a very helpful tool. And I give you permission to copy the workbook on the back to hand out to your person that you're counseling. If you need it for yourself, you can get it and work through it yourself. Then the Walkers have bluegrass gospel music because we have a banjo and a mandolin, we get to call it bluegrass. We're not bluegrass singers. You know, I don't sing through my nose. Nah, your daddy don't. No, yeah, I don't do any of that. But we have some CDs. There's two new CDs since I've been here. One's called I'm Glad It's That Way, and the other one is the newest one from last year called Something to Shout About. And all of us that are saved have something to shout about. My friend Jacqueline Weber and the Christian Womanhood table is over there, and we have put a sale on, an unbelievable sale. $5 books, $10 books, there's even a dollar bargain box. I mean, what more could I say? There's a whole section of seven books that for teen girls, and those are only $5 each. My daughter, Jeannie Mae, this year wrote a book called Emotion Control, and she's got a chapter in there called I Need Anger Management. Anybody relate to that? She also has a chapter in there that says, I look like the broadside of a barn. Anybody feel like that? So those are chapters in there. And that's only $5. I have renewed this book called Ready for the Day. It's a little devotional tool. It just helps you organize your devotions. It usually sells for $10. It's $5. Then my six-week Bible study called Possessing Peace. It's normally $15. It's only $10. And the reason why I want you to have this is because some of you that are not in the Bible, this might give you a six-week boost in learning how to read your Bible. You know, and it's got stories from my life about when I just got peace using the Word of God to survive. This year I wrote this book called God is Crazy About Me. Do you know, if all of you knew how much God loved you, you'd be you wouldn't have any of these problems. You would not have any of these battles, you know, because you would be the daughter of the king, and it would just come out in your outward actions. So this book is, the first half of it is just stories about when, in my early Christianity, I love these stories because it reminded me of when I was growing in Christ. In my early Christianity, how I realized how much God loved me every day. And then the last half of it is a challenge to help you to develop a relationship like this. You know, a daily relationship with God is what helps you to understand God is crazy about you. It's that. Then, of course, this book's been here many, many times, the whole three times I've been here, I mean. Invisible Hurts. It's usually $12. It's $10. And that's a book for people that have a troubled past. And that's what I'm going to speak about today. You know, a gallon of water is 8.5 pounds. Did you realize it weighs that much? 8.5 pounds. Some of you ladies, if you try to take this gallon of water and hold it out like this, you know, you can't hold it up very long. That's for sure. When you're a little child, I never let my little children try to pour from a gallon, a full gallon. You all understand why, don't you? Because it's too big for them. But now that I'm a lady, I can pour very easily from a gallon jug. But what happens to us is that we carry around a baggage of unforgiveness. And that unforgiveness is what weighs us down and keeps us from being a victorious Christian. So I'd like to speak today about unforgiveness. Now, maybe I'm talking about forgiving someone from way in the past. Maybe I'm talking about, you know, a childhood abuse. Maybe I'm talking about something that happened maybe in your early 20s and you're now 40s, 50s, or 60s. Maybe I'm talking about a situation you're living with right now today. I've traveled enough and been with ladies enough to realize that I might have some ladies here today that are living in a very troubled situation. Either you're an adult and you have some children that are troubled and giving you problems, or you might have a husband that's got some troubles, or I might have somebody that you're on a daily basis you are so sensitive that you get your feelings hurt, and you are careful about what people say and do, and you get real funny and you get your feelings hurt so easily. These are the situations we might be talking about, and I would like to challenge you today in the area of forgiveness. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this chance that I have to be with these ladies. How I loved seeing the flags come in and realize that America can be changed because of this meeting today. Because, Lord, when you change the hearts of the ladies of America, it changes the nation. Thank you for this challenge that this church has developed for us to have this meeting. I thank you that we can be challenged today by your word, and I pray that it would help us to be better for you in a special way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So if any of you are sitting here and maybe it's just a daily thing that you get your feelings hurt, or maybe it's something from your past or something you're living with all the time, I want to encourage you to get rid of that burden of unforgiveness, because unforgiveness will weigh you down. You know, if I tried to hold this out for very long, I read an article that said it actually would damage my muscles in my arm, and I wouldn't be able to use my arm anymore. So some of you, you're not as effective in your relationships because of unforgiveness. I grew up in a very troubled home. I'm from West Virginia. Yeehaw! Yeehaw! That's why I said yeehaw, I guess. I don't know if hillbillies say yeehaw. You know, North Carolina has hillbillies too, don't you? I think you all call them rednecks, right? Is that true? Yes. Is it true? Tell me if it's true. I thought so. So you understand me. Well, I had a grandma. In my Invisible Hurts book, I talk about my dad, but I'm going to talk today about my grandma. My grandma was really somebody that chewed snuff. You know what I mean by chewing snuff? She was the one that had this brown stuff going down her cheek all the time. And I never kissed her. I didn't want that stuff on me. That's one thing I never tried. It looked like a nasty habit. Now, if you chew snuff here today, God bless you. I'm sorry. I'm glad you don't have any right now. I might hug you if you don't have it in your mouth. But she chewed snuff. She also had an addiction to prescription drugs and over-the-counter drugs. She was a very troubled woman. And during periods of time in my childhood, my mom would take her in to try to help her. I think as an adult, I'm supposed to take care of the elderly, and I was glad my mom did it. But it caused me a lot of grief, because there were times in my life when my mom, we lost our home in a fire, and I talk about it in my book. We lost our home, and then we stayed with different people for several years, and then we finally got a house, or rented a house, but we didn't have any furniture. So in order to get all that, my mom was too strong. She didn't get any help from the state, and she got 3 jobs. We kept elderly folks in the house. In the morning, she cleaned motel rooms, and in the evening, she worked at a snack bar at a bowling alley. And so, consequently, as a 10-year-old, I was the one that kept the older folks. I was the babysitter at night, because we couldn't afford to hire anybody to babysit, so I would keep the elderly folks at night. We had 3 or 4 of them. And when my grandma came to live with us, I got a new burden, because my grandma, oftentimes, when she'd rise up in the evening, because she woke up from her from the drugs, she wanted to go around. I had two bars around the corner from us. We lived in downtown, and she'd want to go down in those bars, you know, to drink on top of the medicine. It was a troubled time for me. Do you understand? Nobody wants to think, you that are grandmas, wouldn't you hate to think your granddaughter had come pull you out of a bar? I mean, it just sounds awful. And back in those days, you didn't have to be 18 to walk in the bar, I guess, because many, many times, my grandma would rise up out of bed. She wore those muumuus. You know what muumuus are? And she put them on inside out, and I was embarrassed about that, you know. And then she'd walk off, and I didn't try to stop her walking out because I didn't know how. You know, I thought, so I called my mom at the snack bar, and I said, Mom, Grandma's gone again. She said, you're going to have to go get her, Loretta. And I said, Mom, I don't want to go in that bar again. Those men, they make fun of me when I go in there. You know, I'd say things like that. And she said, Loretta, I don't know, do you want me to leave work? She knew that's how to get me because I felt responsible helping her to get on our feet and get furniture and all that. And those were the days of plastic curtains. Do anybody have plastic curtains? Yeah, dollar a pair at the dollar store, you know. But anyway, so that's how we got everything working like this. And so I said, okay, I'll go get her. So I had to go around the corner to one of the two bars, look in both bars to see where she was. And then I had to go in, and I had to physically pull her out. And she'd fuss sometimes, and sometimes she was awake enough and to realize that she was embarrassing everybody and herself. But those were hard times. And it was easy for me to be bitter against my grandma and feel like, why am I, a 10-year-old, taking care of you? I remember thinking that several times. And but you got to understand, anybody that's in your life, you have to forgive them, not because they deserve it, not because it's good for them, but because if you don't forgive, then you carry the burden. And the unforgiveness will ruin your life. See, that's why I forgave my grandma. I don't have any bad feelings toward her. When she died and went to heaven, I do believe she was a saved woman, just not a victorious Christian. I didn't have any bad feelings toward her. I felt sorry for her. But I'm going to teach to you today why we don't forgive, and hopefully God will use it in your life, and you can think of that person right now that you really have a tinge of unforgiveness toward them. Maybe it's somebody in your life now. Maybe it's somebody from your past. Maybe it's somebody that you meet on a daily basis at church. You know, you go to church and there's different personalities there. Do you know there's some personalities that sort of grind my gears? Now, I'm not going to tell you who they are, because if you have that personality, you won't come up to me during this meeting. You'll say, I don't want to grind her gears. You know, that's what you'll think. But, you know, there's just different personalities that, you know, you're more comfortable with certain types of people, or, you know, whatever it is. So I'm going to talk today to you about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not, on your paper, forgiveness is not reconciliation. It's not reconciliation. The word defined is reestablishing normal relationships or restoring mutual respect between individuals. I don't know that I ever had a normal grandma-granddaughter relationship with my grandma. You know, it's reconciliation, it's reestablishing normal relationship. I never had a normal grandma. I didn't depend on her. She didn't buy me gifts. I didn't remember ever thinking, grandma is wonderful. I didn't remember, but I didn't hate her. See, I'm not trying to force you by forgiving someone to think that you have to go back and have a restored, a wonderful, reconciled relationship. You don't have to go back respecting that person. If it was your dad that abused you, you don't have to respect them as being your dad. I'm not saying that. It's not restoration. Restoration is the act of bringing back a relationship to the original state. You know, it's not, you'll never go back to the original state that you should have had in your relationship if you forgive that person. So don't worry about that. Number three, it's not a relationship. It's not necessary that you forgive that person so that you can have a good relationship with them. That's not necessary. Forgiveness is just the word forgiveness, where you don't have bitter feelings toward them. You don't close your eyes and say, I can think of somebody that I hate, that I'm bitter against. That's what our purpose is this morning. Now, why people don't forgive, and the scriptural principle. Number one, the first reason why I've heard, as counseling for 30 years, I can't even believe I'm old enough to have counseling 30 years. I'm 54. Isn't that something? I'm getting old. No, somebody told me yesterday, was you, somebody, one of the ladies that we were with yesterday said you should say you're older than you are so people say you look so young. I'm 64. I look much older than that. Thank you, JoJo. See what I mean about her? Okay, number one, he did it on purpose. I'm using he, but whatever this person is that you think has done you wrong, you know, I have a brother that stole money from me. You know, he stole an inheritance, did it in a very cheating and conniving way. He's a very rich man. He didn't even need the money, but he did it. You know, and I want to think he did it on purpose. You know what? Do you know the reason why he did it? Is because he's greedy. You know, and I don't pray that God kills him. I thought about it several times. I pray that he doesn't really get any fruit out of that money, you know? And you can't think they did it on purpose. You know, when you have somebody that does something against you, like you walk in a church and somebody, they snub you. You know, they look right past you and don't even say hi. And you that are sensitive, you feel that. You think, what did I do? I thought I was nice to her. You know, I thought she liked me. You start questioning all this and you think, she did that. There is a good chance that she didn't even see you. You know, but you don't think that when you get your feelings hurt. You think they did it on purpose. The verse for that is Psalms 37:7. Write down Psalms 37:7 and Proverbs 19:11 and Luke 23:34. Psalm 37:7, Proverbs 19:11 and Luke 23:34. I'm going to just read Luke 23:34. Jesus was the supreme example of realizing that. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I had a lady we were in Arizona singing, and there was a period of time when my daughter, Jeannie Mae, didn't travel with us. A lady come up to me, and I think she was really trying to give us a compliment. How many of you have had people come up and say something to you, and you think, that did not go well? Just what you said, really, it really laid an egg. You know what I mean? And this lady come up to me, and she says, oh, you must really miss your daughter singing with you. And I thought, now what am I supposed to take? How am I supposed to take that? I miss her because we don't sound as good, because it's not there. You know, you think all those thoughts, don't you? Now, I am such a giving Christian that I just chose to think that she just meant that I miss having her around. I thought, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, lady. And then the next time I see you, I'm going to slap you in your face. No. He did it on purpose. Number two, it's not fair. Look, it is not fair that I grew up with a dad that was an alcoholic. It's not fair that my grandma was like she was. It's not fair that I have all these other troubled people in my life. I could say that. But you know what? If you keep looking at it like it's not fair, what happens? It weighs you down. Instead, I choose to think that I am strong in the Lord because of that past. I really believe my dad did me a favor by rejecting me. I believe my grandma did me a favor, making me go into those bars. I believe it with all that's in me. And that's why I can have a good spirit. And that's why I can stand up here saying to you, you can do it, you can forgive somebody. Because I've chosen to let my mind think that direction. You know, Jeannie's book, Emotion Control, all it is teaching you how to train your mind to turn things around. Today, you can choose to say, you know what? He did it on purpose. It's not fair that he was like this. And I tried so hard. And now you can think all the reasons why it's not fair. And it'll weigh you down. Or you can say, Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You can choose to say, you know, I'm not going to think it's not fair. And I'm not going to have a pity party all the time because my husband is this way and her husband is this way. She doesn't know how I feel. Her husband does such and such. I've heard things like that said. And I think, you know what? You've got a bad attitude toward your husband. And you haven't forgiven him for who he is. Part of forgiveness is accepting the person that's in your life for what they were. You know, that's in my book, Invisible Hurts, where I say, you gotta let go of what you expected them to be. Number three, it's not my fault. Most likely, if somebody has hurt your feelings, or if if you have a hard time with them, it probably isn't your fault. They probably have, the Bible word for this is enemies. And if you do a Bible study, it's about enemies. I have people that enter in my life that are my enemies. They're Bible words. It's not my fault they don't like me. I think I'm pretty a lovable person. It's not my fault they're jealous of me. You know, if you have somebody that's jealous of you. You know, if you have a lady in the church that sort of resents you because you can sing well. Nobody resents me because I can sing well. I just want you to know that. I don't have any problems with that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you can say, it's not my fault. Proverbs 16:7. Psalms 86:17. When I was a young lady, probably in my 30s, I was trying to help three girls learn how to sing, make a trio. Psalms 86:17. I'm sorry. When y'all do that, I know I didn't say it slow enough. 86:17 and Proverbs 16:7. The Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Mrs. Evans taught me this. Her books are all over the table back there. She taught me great principles about how I was in charge of how people treated me. No matter how ugly you treat me, I can still be nice to you. And that's the Bible principle. I make it even my enemies to be at peace with me. So I was trying to get this trio to sing. The head girl, the girl that was singing melody, she sang through her nose like this. And I honestly was just trying to teach her how to sing through her diaphragm. And I told her, you sing through your nose. And I didn't know it was to be that blunt was too hard on her. You know, because here, all these years, people have been telling her what a beautiful voice. And she did have a beautiful high soprano, but it was down to her nose. You know, I said, oh, you can sing. And so I was trying to teach her that. The next thing I know, her mother takes me to the preacher of the church. Now, you know when you go to the preacher with another woman, you's in trouble. I don't want to have a sea of hands to say who has been taken to the preacher with another woman. Miss Ennis, she took me to the preacher, and do you know what she said in my face? She said, you know, you're the worst Christian I've ever met. Do you know what I said to her? I'm going to smack you silly. No. I didn't say that because I'd been around Mrs. Evans. You know what I said? I said, I can see why you'd think that. Her feelings were hurt. You know, it really wasn't my fault. I really was trying to be helpful. You know, when you're a strong person, you're a little too helpful sometimes. You know, that's my problem. Let me help you know how to do that. You know, I don't want your help. Stay away from me. It's not my fault. Number four, I don't like him, so why should I forgive him? So you say, well, I don't even like that person. Why should I forgive him? You know why you forgive him? Because you don't want to be weighed down. There are needy people in your church. You know, there's people that come up to you and they just want to hang around all the time and talk to you. Are you shaking your heads? You got people that sort of you want to go hide from them when you see them come in your direction. They have a long list of all their ailments they want to share with you from this past week, right? They're not pleasant people for you to be around. They're a personality you don't like. And so you sort of ignore them or stay away from them. If you don't like them, I loved it. When I first got saved, my home pastor, Pastor Don Smith, they called me Red. I was Red back then. I'm not Red now. Don't call me Blondie, though. I don't like that. That's a big insult to me. It hurt my feelings. But anyway, he came up to me, he said, Red, he said, I just want you to know, I was going off to college, and he said the neatest thing to me, he said, I was a young Christian, so I'd only been saved a year, so I didn't know anything about Christianity, and he said, the Bible teaches me I'm supposed to love everyone. He said, but there's just some people I really like, and he said, you're one of them. I thought, oh, that's so nice. I'm glad, but you know what? It is true. You are a human being, and there are people that you're more drawn toward. But to say, I don't like them, so I'm not going to forgive them, where's that in Scripture? Tell me where it is. You know, Mrs. Evans was very good about these troubled people that are in your churches. They need your attention. You know, one of the things she taught us was, why don't we give people what they need? If they need attention, let them come up and talk to you for a little bit, and even ask them, how are you feeling? And let them tell you some of the things that's been going wrong in their life. And then Mrs. Evans was real good about doing this. She'd say, now, you know, I got other people I got to talk to, so I'm going to go over here and talk to them. I'll see you next time. You know, now if she ever did that to you, that doesn't mean you're a needy person. You know, I don't want you to think that. Oh, I remember when she did that to me. Am I a needy person? No, I'm not going to say that. But what I'm saying is, give people what they need. You know, I'm teaching you Christianity here. This is a different type of Christianity. Her book, Relationships Without Regrets, is full of little tidbits like that that teach you how to get along with each other. You know, our churches, if our ladies got along with each other, our churches are harmonious. They're very effective. There's a feeling of love. When the ladies of the church have a great spirit and love each other, there's love. When visitors come in, they can feel it and they know it. And you draw people toward you when you're that way. So I don't like him. Why should I forgive him? Number five, I can't forgive and forget. I don't know if you're going to go, oh, this is good. I like this. I'm going to say something. I don't know that many people say this. Maybe it's just because I'm human. But can I say this? I don't really believe I'll ever forget. I have forgiven a lot of people. I just told you that story about that lady told me I was the worst Christian. You know, I haven't forgotten that story. It was 20, 30 years ago. I haven't forgotten it. I don't have bad feelings toward her. I'm a Facebook friend with her. I'm pretty proud of that. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand? If you forgive somebody, that doesn't mean you forget what they did. What you do with what you remember is what changes your life. You know, I really believe I will remember the awful things my dad said to me as a child for the rest of my life. I believe I'll remember going into that bar to get my grandma the rest of my life. I'll remember things that people, you know, my husband, some of the things that he has said to me, small things, they come to my mind sometimes. You know, like when we were first married, when he'd eat something, I'd say, how does that taste? And he'd say, it's not bad. Not bad. Do you think not bad is good? Oh, you know, for the first few years of our marriage, I was a sweet, submissive woman. You're with me already, aren't you? You know, and I just sort of gulped and let go, but there came a point where I said, honey, do you understand when you say it's not bad, that does not really tell me that it's good? You know, I had to talk him through this. He has not said it for years and years. I still remember that he said it, though, don't I? So when I say, it's not necessarily that you're going to forget, but look what it says about forgive. Romans 13:1. Romans 13:1, Matthew 5:44. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So when those evil thoughts of unforgiveness come back in my mind, I spark myself to say, you know what? He hadn't done that in years. Why do I keep remembering that he says that? You know, it was all right that grandma did that. I survived. It helped me. It made me a better person. You know, that's what I overcome evil with good. Those bad memories, you know, now associated pain, some of you that have sexual abuse, that's why you need deeper help. You need that because I teach you a different thing about that, overcoming it, and I don't have time to teach it to you. But there's a way to overcome evil with good. Then number six, he doesn't deserve it. Who does deserve forgiveness? Nobody does. You know, when I'm a very outgoing, bubbly person. I say things that I don't mean to people. I hurt people's feelings. Open mouth, insert foot. That's me. You know, have you ever hurt anybody's feelings, JoJo?
No.
When you're outgoing you talk a lot, you're going to hurt people's feelings. I don't really deserve your forgiveness, but I wish you'd give it to me. You know, you got to think this through. It's not whether somebody deserves it or not. It's whether you are going to give it so that you can be a better person. Proverbs 24, verses 17 and 18. Then the last one, and this is an important one. The Bible, number seven says, he hasn't asked me to forgive him. My dad never said, Red, he called me Red too. Red, I'm sorry I wasn't the father you needed. My grandma will never apologize. I'm sorry yesterday you had to go get me out of the bar. My husband did apologize for saying it's not good. But you know what I'm saying? People don't have to ask forgiveness. If you're trying to live the Christian life the way we're teaching here, you don't have to wait for somebody to ask you, because you forgive because of what it relieves you of. The verse is Romans 12:14. And the other verses I didn't read, I want you to look them up later. Matthew 18:21-22. Matthew 18:21-22, Romans 12:14. The Bible says in Romans 12:14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. I feel like a pretty strong Christian. When somebody comes up to me and says something that they don't mean and it hurts my feelings, I feel like a pretty good Christian when I say, you know what, they didn't mean it. Sometimes my favorite thing to say, pardon me for telling you the truth, I don't say it out loud, but to myself I say, oh, she's just ignorant. You know, people come up, I get to your church on Sunday morning. You walk up to me and you say, when are you leaving? I'm thinking, I just got here. They make me feel like they're trying to get rid of me real fast. But I think, you know what? They're just trying to make conversation. You know, half the things you let hurt your feelings could be alleviated with some of these principles. And of course, it's all about what the Bible teaches. Living the principles of the Bible. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I've shared my heart. Boy, do I have a burden about this, because I know in my life, I was not an effective Christian as long as I kept unforgiveness in there. Thank you for the chance to get to teach this morning. I pray, God, with all my heart, that your Holy Spirit's walking through here, speaking to the hearts of the ladies that needed it. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please don't look around. If you're here today and you say, Loretta, God spoke to my heart, there is something that I needed from this talk about forgiveness. And I am promising you and God right now, I'm going to read these scriptures over and over. I'm going to work through this to try to forgive somebody in my life, whether it's past, present, or whatever it is. Anybody like that? You'd raise your hand. I can pray for you. Thank you for your honesty. Lord, you know how hard it is to forgive. I do pray, God, that you would allow us to the grace to use your word to help us to get over it. Help them to do it. And we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.